and you will listen to the Word of God found in Galatians chapter 5. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Word of God for the people of God. When I was a kid, we used to visit my dad's uncle, Uncle Jim and Aunt Mary, where we'd always get eggs from their chickens and visit. And then years later, when Uncle Jim got older, I'm guessing he was around 90 years of age or so, he went to live with his one son and daughter-in-law. And during the time he was there, he was looking for something to do to kind of keep himself occupied. So if it wasn't raining, it was during the spring and summer, he'd take his hoe and he'd head out to the garden and he'd just work the hoe in the garden and kept taking and tending the garden almost every day if it wasn't raining. He would be out there for some time anyway. Now his daughter-in-law, she told me one time, she said, "You know, when Uncle Jim has his hoe in his hand, a weed does not stand a chance." That their garden was just totally weed-free because Uncle Jim was out there with his hoe trying to keep occupied and also be productive. So as we think about the passage we just read, there's a verse that we need to think about that's a little bit beyond that, before that one, verse 9 of that chapter. And that one says, "A little yeast leavens the whole loaf." Little yeast leavens a whole loaf, just like a little weed can grow into the whole bunch of the garden. If you ever put yeast in bread, it doesn't take much, and the whole loaf will start to rise. So I'm sure some of you have seen a garden that's been totally overcome by weeds. Yeah, Kevin's the only one that put his hand up, so I don't want to point him out thinking you think it's his garden. So. So I'm sure, I've seen gardens, sometimes it's been our garden, but, you know, weeds just, sometimes they get so large, you know, that you can't tell where the plants are. And if there wasn't a marker to tell where they wrote, you just kind of have to be careful going in there looking for the peppers or the tomatoes or whatever else might be there. You know, it's hard, and carrots were like next to impossible to find in the midst of, because the weeds just grow up. And, you know, the works of the flesh, the acts of the flesh mentioned in that passage, you know, those are something like weeds. And what they are, those are deeds or things that we produce within ourselves. You know, they're produced by our unrepentant, unredeemed nature. And they come out through us, our attitudes. Now, how many of you do have gardens? How many of you planted weeds? Todd plants weeds. Don't eat anything that they bring you from. you know, you don't plant weeds. They just appear, you know. Weeds just seem to grow. And, you know, that's the same thing with those acts of the flesh. They just kind of come out of the inside of who we are. You know, they're just a part of our unredeemed nature. And so when we look at that list, though, we look at that list of the acts of the flesh, you know, and so many times we interpret them in the fullness or the greatest intensity that they might have. And so you look at the list and you say, well, you know, I'm not a 10 out of 10, so I don't have that. But if you think about it, all those things have different variations. Like the first one that's mentioned, sexual immorality. Well, you think, well, I'm not into all that stuff that you find people on TV or the news, like Epstein or whatever. You know, I don't have that problem, but then you really need to evaluate and say, well, what are some of the movies and other things that I gravitate toward? Does that have a category, a variation of some of that within our life? Some of our other tendencies are is that we only start at the beginning and we read the big ones, what we consider the big ones, and we don't think about what comes later, the ones that would probably be classified in our minds as smaller, you know, and we think we don't necessarily have those because we don't, they're just less than that. You know, we also will take something like idolatry and we'll say, well, you know, I go to church. I don't have idol worship. But if you have something in your life that is more important to you than what God would have you do, that's a form of idolatry. You know, you think about the hatred is listed there. I don't hate anybody. But maybe you're expressing a version of hatred. I've heard good Christians, when they get into a political discussion, speaking hatred regarding some politician they like or don't like. Selfish ambition. Do you have any tendency towards that, to seek your own desires over what God would have you do? These are all weeds growing in your spiritual garden. Rage. Anybody ever have rage, acts of rage? Anybody ever get cut off while you're driving on the road? And you get road rage. you know what I'm talking about. You get angry because, you know, oh, God, what's he thinking? He pulled in, you know, he barely fit in there and then slowed down right in front of me. And you sit there at the light. Why doesn't he move? You know, we all have factors of that come out in our life. Maybe you're not chasing somebody down and shooting at them, but you'd want to. You know, all these things, you know, those are spiritual weeds within our garden. Spiritual things that we need to pick up our hoe and go to the garden and start to remove those things. Because what weeds do is they choke and they hinder the growth of the good plants. Well, the fruit of the Spirit's mentioned. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, that's not produced by our own abilities. You know, the weeds, we can do that perfectly well. Just like your garden, you don't need to plant weeds, they'll come up. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's something that comes from the seed that the Spirit of God plants within your life. And it's not by our own effort or our own ability, power ability. It's by the power of God working in you to produce that fruit. And when we allow God's Holy Spirit to be released in us, then it comes. Now, a lot of times, though, we look at the fruit of the Spirit and we don't really stop and think about what does that really mean? How is that really working in my life? And we'll consider things like, we'll say, well, I love people, but what does that word love mean there in the fruit of the Spirit? That word love means to seek the highest good in another person's life. Seeking their very best interest, even if you don't like them. So when we're called to love somebody, we don't have to like somebody, but we can still seek their very best. God knows that we have personality differences and clashes where it's like, that's not somebody I really enjoy being around, but I can still wish for them to become who God called them to be and for them to walk and live, and I can do what I can to help them in that way, even though I'm not going to invite them to dinner on Sunday afternoon. Joy. Joy listed there, it comes from the same Greek word as grace, charis. And the meaning is basically the assurance of living in the realms of God's grace. You have joy because I am living in the midst of God's grace. It's a little bit different than happiness. It's just the assurance of where you are. Peace, that's a state of rest and calmness, the absence of strife. You don't have road rage. Somebody cuts you off, I'm still at peace. Not hurting me anything. Patience, that comes from two different Greek words put together, and those mean long temper. You know, and it indicates a patient endurance that you have. Kindness, that's someone, you might talk about someone who's very kind. Well, that's because they put their goodness into action. They have a sweet spirit. Someone that's good, that means that, you know, they have a bountiful propensity for the will of God and to do what is of God. Faithfulness, we always talk about, oh, do we have faith? Faithfulness, you know, that's an inward confidence to trust and rely on God. No matter what takes place, I will trust and I will be faithful. Even if, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if he does not save us from the fire, we will be faithful. A confidence to trust and rely on God. Gentleness and meekness. It's balanced in spirit. It's great power and strength under control. You know, if you think about a car engine, there's a lot of power there, but it's under control. All the firing of the pistons and everything, they're under control. They're not weak. They're just demonstrating the power and strength of meekness. And self-control, able to keep attitudes and behaviors within the boundaries of God's grace. You're able to keep your attitudes and your behavior inside the boundaries of God's grace. We need to make sure that we weed our garden. We take our hoe and we get the weeds that would choke those things away so that God's Spirit might plant those seeds and that they might start to grow. Now, when we lived up at Conneautville, Pennsylvania, Conneautville, Lionsville, Conneaut Lake, we had a fellow in our church named Pete. When I met Pete, his wife was sick with cancer, and Pete was, I'm not sure if he was an atheist, but he was an agnostic. Other people talked to me when Pete had died, and they said, you know, Pete was, he's a nasty guy. That wasn't my, I mean, he did not manifest himself to the world around him as a nice person. Now, Pete, when I met him, Pete had a lot of questions. And when people said, you know, boy, you got the funeral for Pete, he's a mean guy. I said, you don't know the Pete that I've come to know. Because you see, after Pete's wife died, he started to come to church and he started seeking. And every Sunday, when Pete would walk out of the church, he'd start to cry. He'd hug me and he'd say, I love you. God had turned and changed his heart in such a way. Now, Pete would bring me onions that he'd grown. And these onions were larger than grapefruits. They were, literally, they were about this big. Sweet. And I said, Pete, how do you get onions that big? And he said, well, you know where Pymatuning Lake is? And I said, yeah, because, you know, we lived right up there. He said, well, before they put the dam in, Pymatuning Lake, that was all onion farms. That's where I grew up. And he said, you know, with an onion, he said, the only thing that needs planted on the onion is the very bottom where the roots are. He said, that's the only thing that needs in the soil. And if you stopped over to his house and you looked down the backyard, it looked like his backyard was covered with giant softballs. Because that's where his onion garden was. And they're all just on top of the ground with just the roots in there. And he said, once you get them started, you don't want any dirt around the onions. Because he said, that holds... The dirt keeps the onions from being able to grow. And so you'd look out there, and there'd be a yard full of big white things like this of his sweet onions. You know, that's the way it is with us. We need to allow the fruit of the Spirit to be rooted, but nothing else to hinder the growth of God's fruit within our lives. We need to take our hoe, like Uncle Jim, and keep working that garden. Keep working it so that the fruit of the Spirit is what's evident in what you see. We need to remove anything that hinders what God wants to produce in your life. Now the youth, when they came back from Jamonville, one of the things that they shared, one of the quotes that I heard from two different people, Troy Miller had taught them, and one of the things he said is, repentance without replacement is a recipe for relapse. Now, when we come and we look at the acts of the flesh and we repent of those things, if we don't replace that with God's planting, we're going to allow that to relapse, the weeds to grow back into our lives. So before we come to partake of communion, we need to remember, you know, as we partake of communion, that we are actually stepping right into the very presence of Jesus Christ. And we do this in remembrance of him. And what he did was he gave his life, he gave his blood to cleanse us of those acts of the flesh. And he came to empower us for the Spirit to be born into us, to be planting seeds in us. So before we come to communion, I'd like you to just take a moment, close your eyes, steady your breathing, take a few deep breaths. I want you to reflect on your spiritual garden. What is it that's growing in your life that you need to hoe out? What is it that you need to repent of? What fruit do you need for God to replace those weeds with?
Body of Christ, broken for you. As often as you eat this, remember him. The blood of Christ, poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. As often as you drink this,
let us pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to weed our gardens well. Plant within us the seeds of your Spirit, Lord, that we might produce fruit for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. May you, like Uncle Jim, keep your hoe handy. May you continue every day to tend to your spiritual garden, that you remove the weeds, allow God's Holy Spirit to produce fruit in you for his honor, for his glory, for his power. May you go in the love of Jesus Christ, proclaiming his name. Amen.